All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe show here on this Friday afternoon. Chase McCabe off today. Dr. Crane in for Chase. Brando behind the boards. Our final show before we all expire this weekend before the 37 feet of ice drops on us. That's good, though. Heasley joins us on a Thursday, but we'll join him on a Friday today. Is Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, NHL.com, senior writer. Greg, good afternoon, and this will be the last time we talk to you, buddy.
Oh, we're getting snowmageddon up here too. We're getting like 16 inches. It's gonna be. Everybody is marauding the grocery stores right now in New York City to prepare for what it'll be for the next few days. Are we doing a good solid 15 on Robert Saleh? What do you want to know as a Jets fan?
Heck yeah, man! We can do the next 2 hours on Robert Saleh. Yeah, what do you think about Robert Saleh?
He's a hell of a coordinator.
Oh no.
No, man, like I'm happy he's getting another shot. Obviously, like, listen, no one's had success with the Jets since Rex Ryan, basically. So, like, you know, it's just like in the NHL, you know, you everybody has to have a first coaching gig, right? And so he's probably learned a little bit, you know, since he was the head coach of the Jets. And you know, his defensive acumen and credentials is unimpeachable. He just kind of lost the thread at some point, but good to see him get another shot. I was kind of pumped about the possibility of both him and McDaniel going to Tennessee, but I guess that's not in the cards. So, you know, if nothing else, the defense is going to be just destructive in Tennessee with him as head coach.
I will love it. We'll take it. Before we talk about the Predators and Roman Josi, I love when you guys do these power rankings and each team's biggest fan. And did you do this poll on ESPN.com?
I had nothing to do with this one, actually. So I'm excited to hear what you're going to tell me in a second.
Well, you got the Predators at 26. Now, this is not a fan poll. This is kind of like power rankings. And it says each team's biggest celebrity fan. And you've got, or you guys have Nick Saban, obviously, as the biggest Preds fan there. And okay. It just makes me laugh. I mean, I get it, but I'd have gone with Vince Gill. He loves the Nashville Predators. But that's all subjective.
Well, I think with Saban now, there needs to be an asterisk because he's not just a fan; he's an owner.
Yes.
So, like, you know, there's got to be a certain caveat there. They really had you guys at 26th.
Jesus, right? Are you gonna go into the boardroom and crack some skull, Greg?
I'm cracking my knuckles right now, man. Like, there needs to be greater appreciation for the insanely great rebound for this team this year, which obviously continued last night. What an amazing win last night! That, you know, the rally. The fact that it's again Stammer coming through, and you know, I saw a stat this morning that I guess there's like five different guys on the Predators that have had hat tricks this year, which is kind of a wacky and wild stat. But you know, it's been the Renaissance has been interesting because I still think that the offense has been good, but I think at last check in the last maybe like few weeks they're still giving up a goal a game more than they're scoring. But they're still rolling. I mean, like they're very much in the hunt for at this point the second wild card in the West as Utah's kind of put a little distance there between themselves and the second wild card. But it's just inspiring to see what was. I mean, hell, like we talked about it like a month ago that it was like a lost season.
Right.
The clock's ticking down to the trade deadline, and here we are talking about the Predators playing like relevant games in late January.
I love it too because Utah's in town. The Preds take on them tomorrow, so they can make up some ground on them. I wanted to ask you, Roman Josi last night played in game number 1,000 for the same team, and I find this stat greater than I think it probably should be and less than it should be because in this day and age, Greg, of guys bouncing left and right, I'm unhappy, I want more money, the fact that Roman Josi just stayed here 1,000 games, kept his head down as one of the best players in NHL. I think it's a great story, Greg.
It is a great story. I mean, you know, I think in hockey, these guys, unless there are extenuating circumstances, all would prefer to, you know, play as many games as they can with one team and in a perfect world, finish out their careers with one team, which is kind of like what we're seeing in Pittsburgh right now, where, you know, Crosby and Malkin probably had every reason to leave in the last couple of years, but they stuck through it. And now they're like contending for a playoff spot and maybe going to stick around there for a bit longer. So, yeah, the fact that Roman's been in Nashville for as long as he has been such a vital part of the team for as long as he has been. It's been great to see, and hopefully it continues.
Greg Wyshynski is on the line with us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. Greg, looking at this Preds team last night, obviously five unanswered goals, being down 3-0, but Stamkos with his 16th career hat trick, it just seems like he's playing on a different level right now. Where do you see his trajectory going the rest of the season if this play continues?
It's a great question. I mean, ultimately, there's obviously a few directions this could take us, right? I mean, I think back earlier in the season when it was talked about whether or not it would benefit the Predators more to trade him than to have him on the roster, I think one of the questions was, how much does he have left in the tank, you know, when the puck wasn't going in for him? And as we can see now, he's got a lot left. You know, like he's clearly has not lost a touch as a goal scorer. And I talked to some of his former teammates earlier this year for a story, and they all said, look, you know, it's just not going in for him. And then, you know, all of a sudden it'll go in for him, and then the goals won't stop. And that's exactly kind of how it's played out this season. So on the one hand, if you're looking for, you know, a reason to reshape the roster and maybe sell high on Stamkos, he certainly provided that reason in, you know, the last couple of months of the season. But again, it's hard to really think about that aspect of the roster and the direction of this team when things are really clicking and rolling. And, you know, like, as a sort of a sidebar to this, I know a lot of people are kind of like, who the hell wants to finish in the second wild card in the West, right? Like, you're just there to be, you know, blood in the water for the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. And, you know, to that I'd say it's always important to make the playoffs. And for teams to make the playoffs, it's always, you know, it means extra money. But it's also a great experience for your young players. And you never know how it shakes out. I mean, I'm within the last several years, I covered a playoff series between Tampa Bay and Columbus, where Tampa Bay looked like no one was going to beat them until Columbus swept them in the first round. So you never know, and you just want to get in. And it bums me out when people are like, why even try if you're just going to end up playing Colorado?
Yeah, because look, the Preds have proven it this past, last week, that is, when they played Edmonton and Colorado. They put 7 goals on Colorado, which is uncommon, really unheard of in all of the NHL right now. And one player specifically I'd like to get into, you mentioned Stamkos, the trajectory of that, but a guy coming off of injury, Jonathan Marchessault, bagged himself a goal last night, led the team with 5 shots in the game itself. I'm curious to see your gauge on the situation if Barry Trotz tends to look at this as more of a trade value or a guy they can hold and retain and possibly for a playoff push.
I think in Marchessault's case, it's even more intriguing as a potential trade chip, just because his reputation is that of a real intense playoff performer to the point where he's got an MVP to his credit. And so if you're a contending team and you feel like you have a hole in your top 6 forward group, you know, and certainly you want to maybe increase the compete level of your team heading into the postseason, like, he would seem like an essential player. I mean, obviously the economics are what they are, and you got to kind of like figure that part out. But in some ways he's a more intriguing trade chip than Stamkos, if only because his value seems so geared towards, the postseason. There's a couple of guys like that. Nazem Kadri of the Flames, for example, is a guy who certainly can contribute in the regular season. But to me, the je ne sais quoi of his game is for what he can do in the postseason to bring that grit and intensity and everything else. And I think Marchessault is in that same boat. Like, he's just such a spark plug. He reminds me of, you know, what some of those guys on Florida give them on any given day, where, you know, the ability to make a play or deliver a hit or just do something to change the game is so valuable in the playoffs. And I think Marchessault is that kind of player.
And when it comes to the goaltending, UC Saros has played pretty good the last couple of games for the Preds. You know, looking at the Olympics coming up in Milan, him being a key contributor for Team Finland, I'm just curious, does that help or does that hurt a guy like UC Saros when it comes to the amount of times the teams that are playing for their Olympic teams, and you're just wondering, yeah, they're going to be playing their hearts out for their country. I wonder if that's going to help out Saros or not.
Are you asking me if all the teams that have a bunch of Russian guys are pretty happy that those guys are going to get like 3 weeks off?
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
No, man. Like, I think the Olympics are an interesting animal. Like, that, you know, that I do think that if you play well there, it can carry over. There can be some confidence boost for guys that play well in that tournament. I think it's only a good thing for a player like Saros to get his reps and play in some really big, meaningful games and represent his country. So it'll be the really intriguing thing, though, for him and for anybody that's not on Canada or the U.S. is, is it inevitably going to be Canada and the U.S.? And what's the bummer for Finland is that they won't have Alexander Barkov there, the Florida Panthers star who's missed the entire season so far because of an injury he suffered in his first practice. And like, if they had him, they might have a puncher's chance at an upset. Sweden, like, they're going through a bunch of injuries right now, especially at the center spot. And so that diminishes their chances. So it's kind of weird. Like, in a lot of years, Sweden, Finland, the Czechs, a few others seem like they could be pesky trap games for the USA and Canada. But in this tournament, for a lot of reasons, injuries being the primary one, it kind of feels like we got a real King Kong versus Godzilla situation between the USA and Canada, which is obviously really good news for my friends at NBC, who would like nothing more than to see those two teams play for a medal.
Is it fair, Greg? I mean, UC Saros has faced over more shots on goal than anybody else in the league. I mean, like 100, 200 more than everybody else. Is it fair he's getting so many shots? Is he the – I mean, I'm going to say we all could do better. I get this. But is it fair to blame him for some things when he's getting shots left and right at the goal?
I mean, I actually haven't seen what his analytics look like recently as far as what – his goals save above expected are at this point in the season. But, you know, like I said earlier, if there is a glaring deficiency on this Predators team throughout this reversal in the standings, it's on the defensive end, whether that's the goaltending or, like you said, whether that's just the amount of shots they give up. When you're giving up a goal more than you're scoring, that's not a sustainable thing. And yet that's kind of what the Predators have been for, I think, at least the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. So, a last line of defense, all that, that's what your goaltending needs to be. And in some cases, he certainly stepped up and has been that. But they could certainly be a little bit tighter in front of him.
I totally get that. Before I let you go, Greg, our question of the day is, what is the best all-time arcade video game?
Wow. All right. So the game I really enjoyed playing more than anything growing up was Spy Hunter. Remember Spy Hunter?
Yes.
Yeah, Spy Hunter is a driving game. You're in like a James Bond-like car.
Yes.
Guns and stuff. You go in the back of these tractor trailers to get special weapons like smoke screen and oil slicks. That was probably the game I played the most and had the most fun with. I was also a big Dig Dug guy, which is, you know, a classic game. But I will put my beautiful wife over for a second. Her abilities on Tapper, the game where you're filling up the beer mugs,
yes,
and then serving them off to customers. She's like King of Kong good on that game. And
oh,
like,
that's great.
I always love watching it. And so those are three games that I would probably put up there against anything else. And I know that probably ages me a bit. I'm not talking about Street Fighter. I'm not talking about modern games. I'm talking about the games that I still play at the retro arcade with a frosty IPA next to me.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of the gist of that. I'm not a Mortal Kombat guy. I'm an older guy, but like Galaga, Ms. Pac-Man, Defender, Joust, Tempest, games like that just kind of make you 15 years old again.
Tempest. Oh man, now you're really pulling from the old school barrel.
Yeah, it just goes around and around. It's crazy.
I'll throw one more out because this was my favorite multiplayer game. Like, me and my boys would always get around the machine and play. There was a game called Gauntlet where you were either an elf or a warrior or a wizard, and the whole game was just like you and your boys just like destroying a bunch of enemies together. It was one of those. It was like the X-Men. Game where it's like, or the Ninja Turtles game where it's like four different joysticks and you all kind of stand around the big machine and play it.
Yes, we've got a lot of votes time for that today, so that's really good.
Sweet.
For
also, NBA Jam.
There you go.
I obviously got to throw that out there too from the
Love
sports.
That.
Awesome. Greg, thank you, brother. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
All right, Greg Wyshynski, ESPNNHL.com. He's big time.
Fantastic.
Although Predators at 26 and...
Big issue with that. Utah Mammoth over the Preds?
I'm telling you, it's not Greg's fault. They don't care about Nashville. They don't care.
Small market.
And it's the same for the NFL. It's the Titans, they're an afterthought. Only way to get respect is to do what?
Go to Broadway. No, I'm joking. Win.
Just win games. Yeah. That's it. Win games. It was great watching the Predators in 17. Everybody's like, oh, I didn't know. This is great. I didn't know about Nat. I was like, yeah, it's pretty good here. Pretty good. And that same goes for the Titans. I mean, Titans never hosted a championship game here. Mm-hmm. Haven't hosted a playoff game here since they did one in 2020 season.
Yep.
One in 2008. So two playoff games you've hosted in 20-something years, well, man.
We looked it up yesterday. The last one was the 2002
season.
Yeah, but 2003.
Doesn't count. 2002 season.
Right. I know what you mean.
But in January of 2003, it was a game versus the Steelers.
Yep.
That they won. And then the next week, they lost to the Raiders to go to the Super Bowl. So that's it. All right, we'll come back. Michelle Kennedy from the Predators joins at 2:30, the very latest on what any kind of impact the storm's going to have for the game tomorrow for the Nashville Predators as they take on the Utah Mammoth. Much more. 3 o'clock, we have a real show that comes in. You know that? DVD.
Yes, sir.
Real show. They break down real topics.
That was before the VHS tapes, too. You dad joke Friday.
No,
come on, I'm trying.
After. VHS was first.
That's what I'm saying. VHS and then DVD.
Uh-huh.
So we're the VHS.
Yeah. Oh, we're the VHS.
Yes, Joe. Good.
You know, two things about a joke.
Yeah.
First is what?
The delivery.
And second is?
The punchline.
Be funny.
I just gave you the actual definition of that, but okay, whatever.
All right, this is Chase and Big Joe's show. Much more right here, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.